Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. End. The Fed by Ron Paul is a forceful argument that the United States should rethink the power and design of its central bank. Written by a longtime congressman known for his libertarian, limited government philosophy, the book presents the Federal Reserve not as a neutral manager of the economy, but as an institution whose control over money and credit produces recurring booms and busts, distorts prices, and quietly transfers wealth through inflation. Paul connects monetary policy to everyday concerns such as rising living costs, job insecurity, housing bubbles, and the growth of federal spending. He also emphasizes the political dimension, arguing that central banking reduces transparency and weakens democratic oversight by placing crucial economic decisions in the hands of unelected officials. Blending historical episodes, economic reasoning, and policy critique, the book aims to persuade readers that monetary reform is not an abstract debate, but a practical issue tied to freedom, stability, and long-term prosperity. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, central banking and the hidden mechanics of money, a core topic in End. The Fed is how a central bank shapes the economy through control of money creation and interest rates. Ron Paul frames the Federal Reserve as a planning authority that influences the price of credit across society, affecting mortgages, business investment, consumer borrowing, and government finance. By expanding or contracting the money supply, the Fed can push interest rates below what a free market might set, encouraging risk-taking and leverage. Paul argues that these signals are not simply technical adjustments, but powerful interventions that change how resources are allocated, often rewarding the most politically connected borrowers first. He stresses that inflation is not only rising consumer prices, but also the expansion of money and credit that gradually weakens purchasing power. In this view, the costs show up later as higher prices, savings erosion, and instability. The topic also highlights why monetary policy can feel remote to citizens. The process is complex and its impacts are dispersed, making accountability difficult. Paul uses this to set up his larger case that sound money and transparent rules are preferable to discretionary central planning. Secondly, boom and bust cycles as a policy outcome. Another major theme is the claim that repeated financial bubbles and recessions are not inevitable features of capitalism, but consequences of monetary manipulation. Paul draws on ideas associated with the Austrian School of Economics, arguing that artificially low interest rates mislead entrepreneurs and investors about the true availability of savings. Cheap credit can fuel malinvestment, projects, and asset purchases that look profitable under easy money but collapse when conditions tighten. The book ties this mechanism to recognizable patterns such as rapid asset appreciation, overbuilding, speculative behavior, and then sudden contractions marked by defaults and unemployment. Paul also critiques the typical policy response to crises, further intervention, bailouts, and renewed monetary expansion, which he suggests postpones necessary corrections and plants the seeds for the next bubble. This topic explains why the pain of downturns often feels unfair, with ordinary workers bearing job losses while large financial institutions receive support. By treating boom-bust dynamics as a predictable outcome of central banking, Paul argues that reforming the monetary system is essential to achieving lasting stability rather than relying on cyclical emergency measures. Thirdly, inflation, savings, and the quiet transfer of wealth, Paul emphasizes inflation as a moral and economic problem, not merely a technical target for policymakers. In his framing, when new money enters the economy, it does not raise all prices evenly or immediately. Early recipients, such as major banks, government contractors, and leveraged asset holders, can spend or invest before prices adjust, while wage earners and savers experience the costs later through higher living expenses and reduced purchasing power. This topic positions inflation as a form of hidden taxation that can discourage thrift, punish fixed-income households, and encourage speculative behavior over long-term saving. Paul connects these effects to retirement insecurity and to the erosion of middle-class wealth, arguing that stable money is a foundation for responsible planning and genuine economic opportunity. He also addresses the idea that modest inflation is beneficial, countering that continual currency debasement normalizes deficits and masks the real cost of government programs. Through this lens, sound money becomes a fairness issue. It protects earnings, preserves savings, and limits the ability of powerful actors to benefit from monetary expansion at the expense of the broader public. Fourthly, government expansion enabled by easy money, a central argument in End. The Fed is that monetary policy and the size of government are inseparable. Paul contends that a central bank makes it far easier for the federal government to finance large deficits, wars, and expansive domestic programs without immediate tax increases. When borrowing costs are suppressed and debt is monetized directly or indirectly, spending decisions become less constrained by voters' willingness to pay. This topic explores how that dynamic can reduce political honesty because the true costs are shifted into the future through debt or into the present through inflation. Paul also connects central banking to the growth of financial regulation and government market interventions, suggesting that each crisis caused by credit bubbles invites new layers of policy responses. The book portrays this cycle as self-reinforcing. Intervention contributes to instability. Instability justifies further intervention. By highlighting how easy money can blur the boundary between public finance and monetary management, Paul argues for reforms that restore fiscal discipline. In his view, limiting the Fed is not only about economics, but about re-establishing constitutional-style constraints on government power. Lastly, reform paths, transparency, sound money, and competing currencies. The book does not only criticize the Federal Reserve, it points toward reforms that would reduce discretionary monetary control. Paul advocates stronger transparency and oversight as immediate steps, arguing that citizens and lawmakers should be able to scrutinize the Fed role in crises, lending facilities, and relationships with major financial institutions. Beyond auditing, he discusses structural alternatives often associated with sound money thinking, a currency anchored by a commodity standard, rules-based monetary policy, or an environment where competing currencies can emerge. The unifying goal is to limit the ability of any single institution to expand money and credit for political purposes. Paul presents these options as ways to restore market-based price signals, promote savings, and reduce the likelihood of large systemic bubbles. This topic also addresses practical objections, such as the fear that removing central bank control would create chaos. Paul counters by arguing that predictability and discipline come from clear constraints, not from discretionary fine-tuning. Whether or not readers agree with every proposal, the book uses reform as a lens to debate what money should be for: stability, trust, and voluntary exchange rather than policy experimentation. In conclusion, End the Fed is best suited for readers who want to understand monetary policy beyond headlines, including students, investors, entrepreneurs, and citizens concerned about inflation, debt, and financial crises. It is also a strong fit for anyone interested in libertarian political economy or in the relationship between government power and the currency. The book can benefit a reader's life by providing a framework to interpret rising prices, interest rate changes, and market bubbles as connected outcomes rather than isolated events. That perspective helps readers evaluate policy debates, manage expectations about risk, and think more critically about savings and long-term planning. Compared with similar books on central banking, Paul's work stands out for its plain-spoken urgency and its integration of economics with constitutional and political accountability. Instead of treating the Fed as a purely technical institution, he argues that it shapes incentives, concentrates power, and affects fairness across society. Even readers who disagree will find a clear thesis, a coherent set of concerns, and reform ideas that spark productive debate. If you want an accessible, principled critique of central banking with real-world implications, it is worth buying. If you would like to support Ron Paul, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.